When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
To the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, I listen because Rod and Karen are hot.
I told you, don't worry. This place is great. You'll see, Maddie said. Don't worry. Don't worry. It's already July. My wedding is in October. I don't have a dress. And from what people tell me, it's virtually impossible for me to get a dress when you look like me and you have this little amount of time to go before a wedding. How can I not worry? He'd never seen Alexa this panicky. She told him the first two trips had been disastrous, but he didn't realize she'd been this stressed about it. Maddie should have warned him that today was going to be like this. He still would have come. He just might have been more prepared for it. Lexi, come on. This will be fun, Olivia said. I can't wait to see my little sister in a wedding dress. Alexa turned to look at Maddie. That's what I thought the first time. This will be fun, I thought. I can't wait to see myself in a wedding dress, I thought. That was before the women in the bridal shop all made me feel like I was too fat to ever find a man to even look at me, much less marry me. And between their attitude and mom asking me if I was sure about having the wedding date so soon because it didn't give me much time to lose weight before the wedding, I almost lost it. Olivia winced. Theo had always thought Alexa and Olivia got along well with their mom, but then he'd also heard that weddings make everyone go over the edge. Lex, I could have told you not to bring mom. You knew she would do that. Alexa glared at all three of them in the rearview mirror. Why him? He hadn't even said anything. I got lost in the moment, okay? I got all excited about having a wedding day and trying on dresses and wanted my mom to see me in a dress, and I kind of forgot what she would be like. Don't worry. It won't happen again, as you know. Today is a secret from anyone except the four of us and Drew. If I ever find a dress, she can come back to see it, but that's not looking likely. Olivia and Maddie exchanged worried glasses. Lexi, I'm sure we'll find you a great dress, Olivia said. That was just one place. Alexa changed lanes to head towards the Bay Bridge. Maybe that was just one place, but every dress I tried on in that place looked terrible on me. I'm not even exaggerating. Am I, Maddie? Tell them. Maddie sighed and shook her head. Unfortunately, no, she isn't. But that's all my fault. I shouldn't have taken her to that store. They were awful there. I don't do bridal often enough to know that how they are with their non-standard size brides. But trust me, none of my clients will go there ever again. Hey, welcome to the Blackout Tips podcast. Your host, Rod and
Karen.
And we're live on a Sunday night, ready to do some podcasting. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Search the Blackout Tips. Leave us 5-star reviews. We appreciate everyone who takes time out to do that. The official weapon of the show is
the taser,
and the unofficial sport,
bullet ball,
and bullet ball extreme. And today's episode excerpt is from The Wedding Party by Jasmine Guillory. I always say her name wrong. But yeah, it just is this part of the book where Maddie and Theo are dating now, kind of on the low, not really. And Alexa is getting married, and so her and her sister Olivia and Maddie and Theo are all going to get, you know, look at wedding dresses. And Theo is like halfway, him and Maddie are coordinating the wedding, so he's part of this kind of stuff too. But even though Alexa isn't the main character, that chapter, a lot of it is about just how, you know, as a bigger woman, she's having issues trying to find, you know, clothing for this like formal event. Mm-hmm. And then all the pressure that puts on you, you know, because people do feel like if you're getting married, you're supposed to like lose all this weight so you look good in the photos.
Yeah, we've seen that before. We've seen people lose like a tremendous amount of weight right before the wedding. You'd be like, God damn, what did you do? I know you did something extreme because that's a lot of weight to lose in such a short period of time.
Yeah, it's like wedding diets are like a complete, like that's a thing.
Yes, it is.
You know, and people do buy into it. You know, the pressure to look a certain way on the day that you take these photos in this dress that, you know, you're always trying to lose weight to fit into, you know, and then not to mention just the idea of, oh, you're bigger. Well, then, let's just put a sheet over you. You know, we don't have, like, we're not gonna be able to make a good wedding dress for you.
Right, and people kill me with that because it's the same goddamn material. Like, people act like once you get to a certain size, like, you just say, fuck it, and all you want is plaid and floral and shit like that. Like, you don't want color, you don't want no shit to pop, you don't want to look good, you want to look like your grandma's quilt. It's like, who decided these rules? A lot of times I think it's just because, not trying to find it, people are lazy. They just fucking lazy. They just don't want to take the time and the effort to design. And now people are actually catering towards these women, and the shit is selling out like crazy, and everybody else is shocked and surprised.
I think it's deeper than being lazy. I think people go, put this over your body and just cover it, because I would be ashamed to have your body, so you should be ashamed to have your body, so just cover it. Don't draw attention to yourself at all in any kind of way. And I think that's a very, like, subversive, like, underneath. I don't think people even examine why they feel mm-hmm. that way, but I think a lot of people do feel that way.
They do. They do. That's why they say very insensitive and mean things consciously and subconsciously to people of a certain size. And it's like, mm-hmm. why would you do that? If this person was a normal size, would you even dare say that? And I know for me, as somebody who has my weight has kind of been up and down all over the place as growing up as a child, my mama, even still to this day, is very, it doesn't make sense. She's fucking obsessed with weight. Mm-hmm. And it drives me up the wall. And then she wonders why I don't come and visit her, because, you know, every time I visit you, I don't want to be like, you put on 10 pounds. Bitch, I knew before you knew. I knew, I saw me before you laid your eyes on me. So I knew that I gained weight. I knew that I lost weight. I don't want to hear, you know, I pick up something, go get something to eat, and next thing I know, you're commenting about my food or something like that. Like, for me personally, it makes people mad. And then, you know, not trying to be funny, people wonder why people just don't come to events and be like, no, I'm not coming, I don't want to be, I want to come and have a good time, I don't want to be the center of attention because you got problems with weight.
Yeah, I think also the pressure of just the wedding industry and the way that people feel about it, just, you know, from religion, from the way it's in all of our stories about romance, it's always supposed to be leading to this magical day, and we really treat that day as if it's the ultimate thing, as if that is the what you aspire to meet a person and then have a wedding. We don't talk about marriage in that way. Mm-hmm. We don't talk of everything else after that is more like you're just on a path, but that's supposed to be the peak of the path. Like, you're never gonna get better than this day. And I think in a weird way, you know, the more we've covered these things and talked about these things and the older we get, I believe that there's a reason behind all this that is kind of fuels a lot of the commentary, which is kind of like envy and jealousy of the rich.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's the one day that you get to, like, pretend that you're opulent, you know, like, this is a fancy venue, this is my fancy pictures, these are my clothes, I need proof of this, so that's why we gotta have pictures of everything. Mm-hmm. Everyone's dressed up, we're gonna get some food that we normally don't eat, we're gonna listen to music we don't, you know, all this stuff. And I'm not saying everyone's like this, mm-hmm. but I think the tradition, the mm-hmm. culture mm-hmm. is very much like this. It's this large expenditure of money. We know that it's one of the leading causes of debt for relationships and marriages. Like, you go into marriage,
oh yeah,
with wedding debt, you know, that can sink the marriage, because debt is the number one cause of marriages breaking up, of divorce. So, you know, we walk into, we know what we're doing, you know, not to shade anybody, because, you know, do the thing you want to do, it's your love life, but
yes, it is.
The rational thing for everyone is to not do this, because it's a huge expenditure of money that most people don't even have to spend, and yet people do it. If you don't do it, people look at you funny, you know?
Yeah, they look at you like something wrong with you. It's like, and what's so funny, we've been together for so long, we've been married for so long, it's hilarious when people meet us. People just assume that we went to prom, or they assume that, you know, we had a wedding. And a lot of times people, you know, when we tell people we didn't, they're shocked and surprised. And then a lot of times they're like, well, why don't you have them? I was like, I'm good, dog. Like, if right. it's something that I want to do, I would actually do it, you know. But mm-hmm. as of now, I'm good. But people almost feel pity or feel sad or bad, like you missed something, like you're telling me this because you couldn't afford it, or they feel like you're lying when you be like, nah, dog, I'm actually good.
Yeah, I think it's also the thing where if you push more of that off, like if you like you plan so much for the wedding, but are you planning for a living? Are you planning for a life together? And I think that's one of the reasons you see so many marriages like fall apart, is because there is no plan for the day to day. The thing that you're going to be doing every day, there's not nearly as much effort going into that. But the thing you're going to do one time, months of planning to go into this one moment. But everything else, you know, it falls apart because it's bigger than that. And I think also with the pressure we put on people, especially women, there is this like, you failed. You didn't do this day. You didn't get this thing. You know, I think it's less so for men, although, you know, obviously people do expect if you're getting married to have a wedding, but it's less so for men, but definitely a lot of pressure on women to have this magical day. And it's also a day where we empower the worst things in women, where we're like, you can be mean to all your friends. You can talk down to them. You should expect to get a bunch of money and presents. And, you know, it's not like you should be stressed out the whole fucking time about everything going off without a hitch, which if you think about it, like, what would it even fucking matter? Like, the things that people have let ruin their the day that's supposed to be this beautiful symbolic day of matrimony. How many people have let it been ruined because the caterer fucked up? Oh my God, my wedding is terrible. What is everyone going to think? And it's like, you're out of your head. You're not even having fun. It's just like a stressful day. You hopefully a good wedding is just to get through the end of it. And like a marathon, like, oh, we made it through and nothing happened.
Right. And it's, you know, and it's one of the things, like I said, I have nothing wrong with getting married at our weddings or anything like that. Cause I'm watching a show called I Do. I think it's called I Do on Netflix, and it's actually a really good show. They have a lot of black and brown people. So far, I like to watch weddings. I think they're pretty. I think they're gorgeous. But as of now, it's not something that I want to do because it's a lot of money. And one couple I was watching, they had got remarried. Like, they had already been married, but they were getting remarried. And this was like 7 years later, and they said they were still paying for their first wedding. So that goes to show you that so many people get in so much debt that they really can't even enjoy their life with their significant other and do some of the things that you kind of want to do as a couple because you're so much in debt, you know. And the thing is, if you want to take on that debt, that's cool, but just know that that's debt that's going to be around sometimes longer than some people's marriages last. People end up getting divorced and end up still paying for a wedding to somebody that they're no longer married to.
There was a TV show called Bridezillas.
Yes.
You know, where the show literally was like, we are going to show you women acting insanely aggressive and emotionally unstable as entertainment, all centered around the idea of, but it's okay because they're having a wedding. Like, this is the time where you don't even have to be a famous person. You don't have to be a celebrity. You don't have to be anyone. Just, you know, just Jane from up the street can be a dick because it's her day. Arbitrarily, it is her day. So if she wants to talk down to some caterer, she can just do that because you have to understand it's a lot of stress. It's like, you made this shit up. This is not a thing. And, you know, I would sincerely hope, and I sincerely doubt, that that's how most women are approaching their wedding day.
No, they're not.
But that's what we glorify. That's what we commercialize. And then we wonder why people get so stressed out about getting the perfect dress, losing a certain amount of weight, getting the right pictures, what kind of DJ, all this other shit. And it's all coming out of someone's pocket, if not just like someone's credit card. So yeah, it can be really fucked up, but it is kind of a, you know, it was just like an interesting thing. I know you had been watching that show, and it made me think about that passage in the book.
And like I said, I think weddings are pretty gorgeous. I like to watch that stuff. But I think for me, it's just one of those things, like you say, and it's an unnecessary pressure that we put on ourselves, and something that COVID-19 has, Adorona has caused me to think about. When people actually start buying necessities, which means you start doing food, water, you know, your power, your light, start buying the necessities and don't mindlessly spend and splurge, how a lot of these industries end up suffering because our economy is based off us mindlessly clicking pay, off of us mindlessly charging our credit cards up, off of us spending in these industries that we actually don't really need. People don't think of it like that, but you don't actually. Like, do you need a wedding? No, you just desire one, which is fine.
Right.
You know, but it's just one of those things where a lot of these industries have built this thing in our society and literally all over the world that you must have a wedding. You are less than if you don't. You are less than a man if you can't do it. You are less than a woman if you can't do it. If you can't make it perfect, there's something wrong with you, like you're inadequate, and that's not so. You know, there are people that got married and they might have spent a few $100 on a wedding and they're happy because it's what they desired.
Yeah, I think the life of being married is a thing that I find to be aspirational. It's the mundane, boring, day-to-day shit that is where the strength of love is tested. It's not whether or not this fucking day goes off without a hitch.
Right, and also it's one of those things too, to after a lot of women get married, and particularly after a lot of women have babies, they get extremely, extremely depressed because those two events are really, really high. You're the center of attention. Everybody's and a lot of women are addicted to that high. You're the center of attention. Everybody has to bow down. You can cut a fucking fool and everybody got to let it pass because, oh, she's just going through, you know, through this and through that. Mm-hmm. But then once you get married or once you have that baby, these people are gone. And so now you have to look your significant other in the face and deal with the everyday to day things and realize the shit ain't easy.
And it's extremely gendered anyway. Like,
correct.
Like, I think that might be the attraction too, is because it's very much like in cishet things. Oh, this is the day that cishet women get to act up, you know, and it's all allowed. So, you know, it's the day you get to be high pressure and emotional and mean and angry and all this shit. And then every other day you're supposed to shrink down.
Yeah. And that's obvious. I could probably tell you why, because for some women, they feel like this is the one time I get to show my ass. Cause then the other time I got to be quiet, sit down, shut up, bow down to my man, bow down to my kids. I don't have an opinion, but that's why for a lot of women have a tendency, particularly in straight relationships, take a quote unquote control, you know, and men can take control too if they opt to, but you know, because of quote unquote tradition, a lot of times men kind of stay out of it, but men have opinions too. You know, some men it was like they might be want to have more of a say so, but the way it's structured is the woman's day because this is her thing and this is what she does, and she gets to take control and be in charge. One of the few things that we quote unquote let a woman be in charge, and nobody steps in and be like, woman, you too much.
Yeah, so it could be that, man. You know, marriage is weird.
It is
the way our society values it, and then the way that we talk about it is so weird because it's, you know, with men it's like considered losing,
it know? Is
so
ain't
for
it
the rest of it, it's like
you're losing freedom.
Just be quiet, let her just do whatever she want on this day, and then I mean, look, just you can't be fucking women anymore, you're not gonna be at a party with your boys. Like, yeah, it's like, it's such a weird relationship we have in society with, because it's aspirational, it's what you want, it's supposed to be this thing that we pitch in every movie, every story, and then
it's supposed to be enjoyable,
but then at the same time we're like, you need a bachelor party so you can try to fuck some strippers because after this it's over. Like, it's, you know, just weird. We're fucking weird. That's all I got.
We are, and it's supposed to be enjoyable, and for most people it is a very enjoyable thing, and I'm pretty sure that some people get married, this is probably another reason why a lot of people sacrifice and just play a wedding planner and be like, look, this is my list, and just let the wedding planner go through that shit because it's less stressful for you.
Yep.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. A reading rainbow.
All right, I guess we can start where we always start, by talking about this coronavirus. I did almost forget to mention, until Monday night at midnight, we have a sale going on in our T Public store for masks.
Mm-hmm.
You put in code TBGWT at checkout, you get 30% off. Mm-hmm. Just go to T Public and search the Black Guy with Tips, or search TBGWT. Either one works. It brings you to our store. And there's so many cool mask designs in there. I'm always putting new stuff in there.
It's really neat when you go in there and you see all the masks.
Yeah, I think the masks are only like $10, but that's before the 30% off.
Yeah, right.
So I've been seeing a lot of people ordering them. Appreciate y'all that's ordering the mask. I appreciate y'all that's, you know, supporting us in that way, because it definitely helps us out. You know, we get a small percentage of each sale when you guys do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, like I said, I think our mask designs are pretty dope. And I want our audience to be safe.
Come
so,
on.
So, you know, if you don't have a mask yet, you know, you can
show your love or crush your face. Say, yeah. Socially distancing.
Yeah, you can go cop one if you don't have one yet, and if you do have one, get you some, you know, get you another one, get you mm-hmm. get you some fresh gear, as they say, as the kids. Is that what the kids say now?
I don't know what the kids are saying. I don't know what they say, but yeah, these masks gonna be around like a coat. It's gonna be you're gonna have to wear it.
Like a what?
Like a coat. You know, when you go outside in the wintertime, you have to wear a coat. The mask is going to be like a coat. You ain't going to be able to walk outside without it.
Yeah, I thought you said coat. Like C-U-L-T. No. I was like, what kind of mask is going on here?
No.
But yeah, that's some pretty cool mask in there. So
it is.
Make a statement with your face, okay? But not your mouth. Keep that covered, because we don't want you getting the cold.
And your nose.
All right, coronavirus. Let's see what song we got here. Rockstar Loud, Noah and Jacob, Coronavirus Party. Noah and Jacob, are they out from the Bible? This is an instrumental.
That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty dope instrumental. But yeah, it's just a beat. I was hoping for something with some words, okay? Mm-hmm. What about I Ain't the One, Beat the Chinese Virus? No, I don't want to. That sounds racist. Mm-mm.
Yeah, that one, we X that one don't sound like it's gonna be.
Yeah, I'm not too convinced on that one.
I don't like that title.
Coronavirus Summer Quarantine by Roses Versatile.
Bitch, it's quarantine summer, y'all hoes ain't going out. Put your mask on, y'all hoes ain't going nowhere. It's a quarantine summer, coronavirus summer. You better sit your ass in your motherfucking house, you dumbass bitch. We not going anywhere, you dumbass bitch. We not going anywhere, you dumbass bitch. Y'all hoes was out. Government told y'all hoes to go in the house. Y'all ain't wanna listen, so now you gotta listen. Sit your ass in the fucking house. No hot girl summer, no city girl summer, no nothing but coronavirus motherfucking summer. You dumbass bitch, you stupid asshole. Sit your motherfucking stupid assholes. Bitch, it's coronavirus summer, our quarantine summer. Coronavirus summer, our quarantine summer. That bitch came in and said, I'm that bitch. None of y'all hoes finna outshine me. I'm finna come in and this is my fucking summer. She said it's my fucking summer. It's 2020 summer. It's 2020 summer. And coronavirus is that bitch. She quarantined the fuck out all y'all hoes, cause y'all hoes was talking shit. That bitch came in and said, fuck y'all bitches and fuck y'all niggas. Y'all not finna take away my spotlight. I'm finna coronavirus all y'all hoes and all y'all niggas. And now you gotta stay in the motherfucking house. And that's what you motherfucking get, cause y'all was too fucking extra anyway in the first place, bitch. So now sit y'all dirty asses down in the house, you dumbass bitch. Coronavirus said, fuck you, hoe. And you gotta listen to what the fuck coronavirus say, cause she's that bitch. You stupid ass hoe. Now what's thesis?
I mean, the production value, 0 out of 10. Obviously, I think the mixing, the levels, the beat, the you know, it was
the voice was louder than the beat.
Horrible, like a horrible production value. I mean, literally sounds like they just threw this one together. But
I mean, you get a 10 for the lyrics.
It did stay on topic.
Yes, it did.
It was educational.
I'll let y'all know coronavirus is that bitch.
It felt more like a reed put to a small beat. like he was just telling us, hey, y'all should have stayed the fuck in the house.
Now
look at us.
It's coronavirus summer. Y'all was too much, and now coronavirus came in. I was like, oh, y'all thought y'all was the bitch? I'm the bitch. Stay your ass inside.
Fuck your hot girl summer.
Fuck it.
Fuck your city girl summer.
None of that's happening this year.
It's not happening, because you couldn't stay your ass in the house. And, I mean, valid.
Oh, come on, valid.
What am I going to say? Anyway, let's get to this coronavirus news. Internal CDC report warned fully reopened schools remain the highest risk for spreading coronavirus.
No shit. Am I the only one reading the news where they be like, yeah, the YMCA down in Georgia had like 80 something cases, if I'm not mistaken, of coronavirus breakouts, like a counselor came and tested positive, and then you had students and counselors test positive down in Georgia. Then they had like another set of summer camps that's been opened up, and kids have been getting I'm assuming the child version of coronavirus. And yeah, and you want to take these kids and say, fuck it, we gonna act like nothing's really going on and send all the kids back to school, so you have these massive ass breakout within the children, which gonna take on to their parents.
Yeah, the internal documents from the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention warn K-12 school and university reopens will be the highest risk for the spread of coronavirus. The report was issued the same week Trump and his administration pushed for schools to reopen. The Times released a CDC 69-page document marked for internal use only and found noticeable gaps in all the K-12 reopening plans it reviewed. While many jurisdictions and districts mentioned symptom screening, very few include information as to the response or course of action that will they would take if students and faculty and staff are found to have symptoms.
Right, because there's actually no plans. Like, it's very frustrating because everybody go, they put shit out there, but there's no details on what you're going to do. What is your protocol like? It's like, you can kind of tell they're kind of going to wing it, which is not good when it comes to people's safety.
Yeah. And what happens if one person gets sick?
Do you shut the shit down? You act like it don't exist? Do you quarantine them? Like it's so many questions that need to be answered, and the whole response has been fuck it. That's literally the whole response to everything, like fuck it.
Think about this. All the precautions Major League Sports, who are literally have billions of dollars on the line, are putting into place to protect what is essentially a handful of people compared to how many kids will be in school. Think about all that shit that they're doing. They're doing so much stuff, and we're still like, I don't know if this will work. If you put everyone in one place, they can't go anywhere else. You're cleaning everything every few minutes. If you're giving them rings you put on their fingers that can detect symptoms before they even register as having tested positive for coronavirus. If you're, you know, temperature checks, if you're wearing masks, if you're social distancing. And we're still like, we don't know for a fact,
because we still learning about the disease,
right? And just for the fact that it's in Florida, we don't know. That's like a big risk for the NBA. You know, even NFL has pushed back, like canceled 2 preseason games so far. I'm sure there'll be more, but the point being, like, we don't know if they can do it. And now we're talking about just opening schools, which is a very loosely connected organization. This is not like the NBA,
and they don't have the money nor the budgets, nor can they put the shit that they quote unquote may need to do. Are you testing everybody? Are you testing the teachers? Are you testing? You're probably not doing none of that shit. You just open it up and be like, oh, fuck it.
And it's not like the NBA where you can say, hey, every team has to have blank,
right?
Like, and the people at the top of this aren't even interested in that. Trump and the people that are like, go in school, start school, or we will cut the budget to schools, is essentially saying start schools with no precautions. They're not saying start schools and we'll do some shifts and we'll have some kids in some days and we'll do some remote learning. They just don't give a fuck, and that's so dangerous.
Right. It's like basically they was like, well, these other countries did. Bitch, these other countries did shit so that they could get to that point. We have done none of the work, but yet you want us to open up like our numbers are not literally going the opposite of the rest of the world.
Yeah, and I think on a deeper level, what do people use school for?
Right,
they use it to watch their kids while they're at work.
Correct.
So on a deeper level, all this shit is essentially about getting people back to work in an economy that is tanking because of coronavirus, but that will continue to tank as people get sick, because that's gonna take up a lot of resources,
right?
So you're not, it's not like if you say go back to work, it's just gonna go back to normal because everyone thinks it'll be normal. No, everyone's gonna go get sick,
right? Which means you're gonna have less workers, which means the economy is gonna suffer even the more. It does not make sense. But yeah, I didn't even really think of it like that. But yeah, they're like, well, you know, parents can't go back to work because of this, but you've had so many major companies, it was like, we don't give a fuck what opens back up. We're telecommuting until whenever or indefinitely. So let's say you open back up and y'all do send kids back to school. Honestly, some parents that can't afford it, they're gonna start schooling their kids online. So you're gonna have a lot of kids pulled out of the public school system because of that. Then you have some parents that be like, I'm not taking my child to school. Y'all better, you know, do on. Some parents are gonna be like, online only. My kid, you know, what are you gonna do? You can't force parents to make their kids go back to school if they want to keep them home for their own safety.
Well, even if you offer them the option, you're still essentially separating the haves and the have-nots.
Correct.
You're gonna end up with people who can afford to say, I don't want my kid to go to school. I got the money.
That's a privilege.
I have
yes.
a privileged job that allows me to work from home. I can watch them myself. I have the internet. I have laptops and such devices that allow them to stream, you know, the school feed. And I'm gonna be able to do that. Other people are gonna have to be like, and we know how poverty works in this country. Lots of black and brown people, lots of poor white people.
They're gonna like, my kid.
They're gonna be like, my kid, not just they have to go to school, but they're gonna have to go to school and get on a bus.
Right.
Go to school, possibly sit in a classroom, sit mm-hmm. in a lunchroom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this shit is, this is essentially just the worst possible scenario. Florida Governor, DeSantis, declares all schools will be reopening in the fall. If Walmart and Home Depot are essential, then so are schools.
That's not the fucking same. It's not the same. What services is a kid in kindergarten giving me? None. They're not giving me no service.
Right.
The kids don't have to be in school. I mean, I hate to be like that, but you know, it's one of those things where it's about the safety of the children. It's not the same.
Mm-hmm. I mean, can they vote him out? Because that's the only thing. Everybody that, you know, benefited from voter suppression, lack of enthusiasm, and all this other shit, and dumbass people that support them and shit, like, they are putting their people on a death march.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because, you know, we're getting closer to almost 100,000 people catching COVID a day. Like, that ain't no joke, y'all. Like, that is a lot of people. I think they were saying, like, down in Florida and down here, down in the southeast where the numbers are skyrocketing, there was, like, every 2 minutes they had a new case of coronavirus. It's fucking insane. It doesn't make sense.
And that's per day, you know? So you're not even talking about, yeah, it's just going to keep escalating. Right. And this is what places being like, we're opening up. We don't care. You know, people like places in Florida, you know, that never really shut down. Or that didn't shut down, waited till it got out of control, and then was like, now we'll try to shut it down. It's like, well, you can't do it now. It's like, that's not how this works.
Yeah, and then you have governors and mayors falling out. Like, I don't know if you got this, like, down in Atlanta, where the governor of Atlanta was like, oh, we're going back to number one. And... Mm. The mayor's like, we're going back to number one. The governor's like, but we open. And, you know, it's like, y'all are actually contradicting each other.
Yeah. United States experiencing coin currency shortage due to the coronavirus pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a national coin shortage because the supply chain has basically been shut down, specifically because of less people shopping, less people going out, people probably using less cash, them not being able to produce coins at the U.S. Mint because they need to protect their employees. So yeah, we have coin inventory problems right now,
which sounds insane, but it's one of those things where a lot of times people normally dump their piggy banks out, you know. Eventually, you know, some people just, you know, I have change in the drawer. I would normally just, you know, spend it at the gas station or stuff like that. Now it's just sitting around collecting.
Yeah, and I mean, that's a hand-to-hand transaction. I have to be around somebody.
Correct.
And all this stuff. And is it clean? You know, how long does coronavirus sit on this metal? You know, people are very paranoid right now. They're
yes,
not
sir.
Taking as many risks. So if you can use your card, you're probably going to just use your card.
Mm-hmm. Like your stuff that's like touch free and shit like that.
Meanwhile, it really affects people without bank accounts.
Yes,
people
it does.
Without debit cards and things of this nature. Once again, poor people, lots of black and brown people. The Surgeon General says that the administration is trying to correct earlier guidance against wearing masks. This is U.S. Surgeon General Jerome Adams, the black dude that was like, do it for pop and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now he's trying to correct guidance, the messaging. He said this on Face the Nation, but it's very hard to do. Basically saying, you know, we need people to be wearing masks, but him and other officials in March advised against wearing masks.
Right.
A recommendation that came as hospitals faced drastic shortages of personal protective equipment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in an earlier interview, March 8th, he said masks do not work for the general public in preventing them from getting coronavirus. But on Sunday, he appeared on the program donning a mask, same as Donald Trump. I guess the messaging has gone out. And he urged viewers to wear mask coverings when they are in public.
It don't matter. They not.
Everything we knew about coronaviruses before that point told us that people were not likely to spread when they were asymptomatic. So the science at the time suggested that there was not a high degree of asymptomatic spread. We learned more, he says. Wear a mask now. They're trying to, like him, Trump, all these people that have been anti-mask. Because, see, it wouldn't be so bad if it was like, well, March 8th, he fucked up. But by March 10th, he was back on point. Man, it is July 12th.
And you've been anti-mask for months.
There was a time where you could have tried to get ahead of this narrative. It's not now.
Mm-mm.
It's too late. You
Mm-mm.
fucked up.
Mm-mm.
Mississippi lawmakers chose not to wear a mask, and now 26 have COVID-19.
Hmm.
Yeah. The State Department, Health Department of Mississippi has confirmed 36 cases that are linked to the outbreak at the state capitol in Jackson. 26 of those cases belong to lawmakers, among others, Republican Lieutenant Governor Delbert Hoseman and House Speaker Philip Gunn both tested positive for the virus after legislators ignored the recommendations to wear a mask while inside the Capitol. Representative Ronnie Crudup Jr. also tested positive for the virus and released the following statement on social media. I wasn't going to say anything publicly, but after a night of rest, I decided to open up and let people know I tested positive for coronavirus. I was tested on Monday at the Capitol like many others and received the news last night. I haven't had many symptoms and I'm doing just fine. I'm just isolated in my room for the next 2 weeks. My wife and children are getting tested tomorrow. They seem fine also, but we need to take proper precautions. I can honestly say that I wore my mask 95% of the time when I was around the Capitol and public places, but that 5% can make a big difference. The mask that I normally wore was a type of sponge mask. What?
What's a sponge mask?
I don't know,
don't
but sponge is porous.
Soak?
Well, not just so. I mean, sponges do soak, yes, but sponge is also very porous. You know, there's lots of holes in sponge.
Oh,
you know
okay,
I mean?
Okay, 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 like, okay.
I don't know what the fuck kind of mask he had on, but that's weird.
He was sponged by across his face, but I don't know why I caught the coronavirus.
It was a nice looking mask, but probably not the safest. I'm sharing all of this to hopefully educate and put a familiar face with the issue at hand. I immediately texted my doctor, Justin Turner, last night when I received the news. He told me that I was going to be fine and that I need to do in the meantime. His office even called me this morning just to follow up if I need anything else. Thank you to the family and friends who called to check on me over the few days, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and you know what? You, my nigga, got good insurance. You don't have to worry about a lot of costs, and probably your family don't have to worry about a lot of costs incurred when you caught it and spread it and all that other shit.
I feels good. I guess it feels good to know that you have people who care about you and support you. So my charge is this: please wear the proper face mask, wash your hands, and social distance. Do it for your loved ones and your community. Hopefully my story can help someone else. Stay safe and be blessed. Representative Earl Banks and Bro Brown and Kenneth Walker also confirmed they tested positive for COVID-19. Yeah, here's the thing. I don't know if all of those people are Republicans or not, but even if you're a Democrat and maybe you were wearing a mask, if all these motherfuckers walk around with COVID-19, with coronavirus and just shooting out these particles everywhere, you're going to catch it. So this is how their stupidity trickles down to people that don't even fuck with it. Like, I do believe the scientists. I do follow their advice, and here you go not wearing a mask fucking me up. So I don't even know that all these people are Republicans. If they are, that's still, you know, like, that's on them. The other thing, I'm sick of these motherfuckers being like, I'm ignoring this advice in public, I'm talking against right. it, I'm downplaying the threat, and then once they catch it going, don't be like me, y'all, take it serious. Why didn't you take it serious? Because you are the reason the next person's not going to take it serious.
Correct.
Speaking of which, an Alabama man dies of COVID-19. Family says he refused to wear a mask. I don't know why they think this is dignified, but these old white people really think this is something.
Mm-hmm.
John Hinton was 78 years old and a diabetic, so his family urged him to take care of himself during the pandemic. He was like, I'm not going to stop living my life no matter what we did, said, or begged him.
So now I lost a husband, a daddy, a grandpa, all because you was like, I don't care.
I told him, Dad, I know you're not going to wear a mask, but you still should try to stay as far away from people as you can. He just wouldn't do it. He was an Air Force veteran. He stuck by his beliefs and continued living normally. I told him, Dad, if you get this, you're probably going to die, and the hospital isn't going to let me see you. He said, yeah, I know. Suicide by COVID, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they don't care. Some people don't care.
He developed a rough cough, decided to get tested for COVID-19. Results came back positive June 18th. Our joke between us, Daddy's not going to stay home for 2 weeks, but he promised us. Tyler said he wasn't shocked when his dad called him with the positive results. We actually made plans to see each other, and he said, well, we're going to have to actually put that on hold. I got COVID, and I kind of knew that was going to be it. I call and check on him, and the calls are very brief, probably 5 minutes long, and I asked, how are your symptoms? Friday, he said, no better, no worse. Saturday, said, no better, no worse. But Sunday, on Father's Day, he was struggling, and I knew that it wasn't good. I was kind of in a panic. I could tell something wasn't right. Although the family urged Hinton to go to the hospital on Father's Day, he refused. Hinton could barely respond to his family Monday morning, so they decided to call an ambulance around 9 a.m. He died less than 3 hours later.
Which means he probably should have went the day before.
Maybe even days before that. I don't know.
Correct.
But this is becoming a pathological thing that people are using this as some sort of measure of I don't know, it's like some type of measure of some shit, you know, like look at us I'm refusing to
like, you dying for a cause, nigga, what cause?
Yeah, look at us refusing to fucking get tested. I'm a real one. And like
a martyr. No, yeah. And that you got like a martyr. Yeah.
Like, I don't think that's how any of this is supposed to work.
No.
You know? But yeah. In addition, let me see. I could play this article. We played this on the pregame, but I want to play it for the regular audience too, so they can see it. But in our state, people are doing contact tracing. They're calling folks to try to let them know they might have coronavirus or have come in contact with someone who had coronavirus. And this is the way it's going.
They play a vital role in our community to track coronavirus cases and then to try and stop the spread. Thanks for joining us tonight. I'm Genevieve Curtis. Now, as cases surge in our community, their jobs are getting more and more difficult. And our Joe Bruno found out that many of these people that they're reaching out to, they don't want to cooperate. Joe?
Genevieve, contact tracers are being hung up on and disrespected, and that's just when they're able to get people to answer the phone. This crucial role of contact tracing is being proven to be pretty difficult at times. If you've had prolonged close contact with someone who has tested positive for COVID-19, you can expect a call from the county health department. The problem is, those calls are...
I guess it's loading. What is going on with this? It was doing so well. Anyway, they hanging up on these people and shit, y'all. It's fucked up. That's my point.
You need to stop playing.
Yeah, just stop playing. It's like, I'm like, what is happening here? I can't get it to start
later
back.
Quarantine. Oh.
You can expect a call from the county health department. The problem is, those calls are...
Oh, it's always going to stop at this point. Oh, okay. Interesting. All right, anyway, they hanging up on these motherfuckers. These motherfuckers are insane. Like, and they're leaving messages, and then some of the people they're talking to are like, I'm still gonna go out, so I don't know. I'm about to head to work now. Fuck it.
Right, because some people are like, yeah, dog, because they want to keep the economy open. My bills don't give a goddamn about COVID.
Mm-hmm. Scientists warn of a potential wave of COVID-linked brain damage. So they're finding out people that haven't even had, they may have had mild symptoms of the respiratory kind, but it can affect you. You can have psychosis, inflammation and delirium, strokes, brain dysfunction, nerve damage, and other serious brain effects. That, this is the thing. People go, like, everyone's measuring this by how many people have died or, you know, things like that. And they're like 1% death rate and y'all ready to, it's like, first of all, 1% is a lot of people.
Yeah. And it's life altering. It is life. You will never, most people who have caught it are like, I am 100%. I'm not 100% the same. You can't smell for months. You can't taste for months. You're losing your memories. Like, don't nobody want to live like that.
Right. So, you know, you have these people that, you know, are like, well, we're just looking at the numbers. Like, it's not that many people. It's only blah, 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 died. It's like, even if you get sick and have to go to the hospital, it's expensive. And surviving it doesn't mean you're back to normal.
No, it does not.
This isn't like the flu where eventually you are back to normal. Like, this is like, I'm surviving it. I've lost lung capacity. I'm surviving it, but my heart rate has been elevated and it hasn't come down in 4 months.
Right.
You know, I'm surviving it, but I'm at a higher risk for stroke, a blood clot, things of this nature. So just the biggest thing you can do for yourself is do the safe things to not get it, so you don't put yourself and your loved ones in danger, but it's just not reaching certain people. 85 kids and counselors got infected with coronavirus in a Georgia camp. Two YMCAs in Georgia had to close down. Karen, you brought this one up earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So 85 cases. Kids, number one. Camp counselors and stuff like that. Why are you still having camp?
Correct.
Why are 85 children and counselors in an area together right now, period? Like, this is the thing where your governor in Georgia goes, it's no big deal, everything's open. And then these places with the profit motive in hand and parents that already paid for shit go, well, guess we gotta have this event. And you look up and it's like, oh, wait, all these kids are sick now. All these kids are carriers now. Counselors are carriers. People may die. Who knows? But yeah, 18% of the 362 campers and 118 staff members basically tested positive. Ages range from 7 to 22. Yeah, a great deal of thought and planning went into our decision to hold Camp High Harbor. President and CEO of the YMCA of Metro Atlanta, Lauren Kuntz, said in a statement, in preparing for camp, we collaborated with the Centers for Disease Control, American Camp Association, and followed the safety guidelines and protocols of the executive order from the state of Georgia. Maybe that's not enough.
Right.
Because I feel like the safety guidelines would be don't do it.
Correct.
And so you're ignoring the first one and then going, but other than that, we just made them sleep 6 feet apart. And it's like, no, that's not how this works.
And I can't imagine the one person that probably objected to them doing this shit the whole time. But I don't think this is a good deal. Because I'm guarantee you everybody didn't go along with this. There's somebody that they didn't have any executive decision to be like, we're not having this shit and this is the end result, and y'all don't have the covering that some of these other places have. Y'all get sued because apparently like, I sent my kid there and my kid caught the coronavirus.
Yeah, and so many times these kids die like this different type of, it's coronavirus related, but it's just not the typical way that adults die.
Correct.
So yeah, I can't imagine. I just can't. I mean, I know we don't have kids, but I just can't imagine sending my kid to anything right now if I didn't have to.
Fuck that.
Texas millennial dies after attending a COVID party. I thought it was a hoax. And you thought wrong.
Yeah. A lot of people think it's a hoax.
Right. I guess they should have understood and listened to this tune.
Get house, you dumbass bitch. We not going anywhere, you dumbass bitch. We not going anywhere, you dumbass bitch.
Should have not gone anywhere.
I mean, it was right.
I thought it was a hoax, but it's not. The patient told the nurse right before passing away. I almost feel bad for these people because this is what happens when you join that cult of Trump.
Mm-hmm.
And that Republican Trump of Republican cult of it's no big deal because we say it's not, and then you believe everything you hear that it goes against that is fake news, and so you end up dying of a quote-unquote hoax that clearly the rest of the fucking world does not find to be a hoax. No other country thinks this is a hoax. Mm-hmm. Your other people that live in your state don't think it's a hoax. No medical facility thinks it's a hoax. all the testing facilities don't think it's a hoax.
All them fool ass hospitals don't think it's a hoax. And even, guess what? Even the administration, they don't think it's a hoax. They don't give a fuck.
Your doctor doesn't think it's a hoax. You know? The actions of the administration show that they don't think it's a hoax, but they, but they're telling you it's a hoax, and you believe, you choose, because this man has made the world a cult of him versus everyone.
Yes.
All right, let's get to some other news. Let's see, where should we start? Oh, this was going around Sunday morning Twitter, and you guys know how Sunday morning Twitter is. It's literally the best and worst time to be on Twitter. Ain't nobody got shit to do. Motherfuckers be arguing all morning, you know, and there's always some hot button topic that you don't have the complete information on. Anyway, this time it's Bath and Body Works. It's like people are going to be boycotting them because a Bath and Body Works employee is out of a job after allegedly yelling fuck Donald Trump at a customer in a Trump mask. So this is the person in the Trump mask. I guess it's that guy on the right. An employee at Bath and Body Works at in Arizona is out of a job this week after cussing at a man wearing a Trump 2020 face mask. The incident began on Thursday as Jeremiah Cota, a strategic initiatives director for Trump Victory Committee, was walking past businesses at a shopping center in Scottsdale. In the video posted to Twitter, he can be seen questioning the employee after he says she yelled fuck Donald Trump. So I guess this is the
video. Are you the manager?
I am her.
Bath and Body Works. What did you say again, ma'am?
Have a good night.
You said fuck Donald Trump?
Yeah, that's how I feel.
Thank you.
Bye.
Are you the manager?
So she doesn't say fuck Donald Trump on the video, but says she did say, she's like, yes, I said him, fuck Donald Trump. So Bath and Body Works let her go. Now on Twitter, people start saying that that he called her a racial slur or something, but there's no video of that. There's no evidence, no proof,
right?
No witnesses. Just, I guess, take their word for it or whatever. The employees, an alleged manager named Karen, confirmed about being that's in quotes because I'm assuming that's a joke. Mm-hmm. Confirmed about being confronted by Cota that she had in fact yelled expletive. Yeah, because that's how I feel. Bath and Body Works responds soon after Cota's videos, which is currently being viewed over 4 million times. We like the opportunity to speak with you about the experience, Jeremiah. The company said, please DM us a phone, blah, blah, blah. Speaking with Arizona Republic, Trump Victory Committee person Keith Schipper stated that the company told Cota over the phone how very sorry they were for the incident. Bath and Body Works reportedly went on to stress the company respects all beliefs. The company also told the Republic in a statement that the employee in question no longer works there. We absolutely do not condone the actions of, as all customers should be treated with respect. Shipper went on to call for more tolerance so supporters of the president don't have their head on the swivel, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, and it was interesting because, you know, to me, it's kind of open and shut case. You can't do this at work.
Not on the clock.
Like, I don't, like, unless you just don't want the job anymore.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah, but that's, you know, you that's can't the do shit it. Twitter we want people to do, but guess what? What are you going to do when now she ain't got no paycheck?
Yeah, I mean, I don't really care about that part. Like, mm-mm. Like they're like, people saying, like, I'm going to boycott them over this. And, for me personally, I find that to be ridiculous. Because a workplace doesn't get to be like, we only Democrats can shop here, or only Republicans can shop here. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the problem. And people don't like that shit when they do choose.
Right.
So, you know, as an employee, you know, walking in the door, motherfuckers it's gonna be some motherfuckers wearing some shit you don't fuck with, you know? I know I worked at IHOP and shit like that. You know, some motherfucker coming out with a Confederate flag hat, it's nothing I can do about it. Mm-hmm. I don't wait on them. I don't walk over, fuck your flag or whatever, unless I know, hey, I'm never coming back here. Today is the day I quit. I'm sick of this shit, which I assume is what she must have made that calculation, because mm-hmm. he was clearly recording her and she, you know, had to let him know, fuck Donald Trump. The racial slur thing, I need to see some level of motherfucking some proof. I don't even see her saying that, so maybe it's on Twitter somewhere, but I haven't seen, like, but I think that's what niggas do on Twitter. They make up the thing to work backwards towards what they want.
Yes.
Which is Bath and Body Works is in the wrong here, and this and of course because this is a Trump supporter, they gotta be in the wrong. So you should be able to walk up on Trump supporters and say fuck Donald Trump at your job and be fine. But I don't know, seems kind of ridiculous to me. So good luck, you know, to them or whatever.
All right.
So Jairus, is that even true, or are you just making this up in the chat to be funny?
Right. You have to see about that one.
Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say I ain't reporting that shit. But yeah, it's just like I said, it's just interesting that that people felt so strongly like that. But I also think people feel impotent in their rage on social media. So it's like, we gonna boycott Bath and Body Works. Ain't nobody gonna boycott shit. You know, I'm shocked people even walking up in there, but. Ain't nobody gonna boycott the fucking Bath and Body Works. And also, to me, I feel like this is game from the Trump supporters. Like they want this. And low key is why some of these Karen videos feel a little bit contrived to me at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's like
they poking and prodding.
You're trying to get a viral moment more so than anything else. You're not even living in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I understood some of them where it's like, this woman says she's gonna call the police on me, I'm on a record of the fact that she's lying. But some of the shit is just like, ooh, look at this one going off. Mm-hmm. You know, let me walk up to you and pull my phone out and ask why you don't have a mask on instead of staying 12 feet away from you because I don't want coronavirus.
Come on.
You know, so it feels a little bit like Trump people are aware of this too. I think people talk about cancel culture, but some elements of the cancel culture thing are not just a legitimate critique of people, but the dogpiling, the harassment, the ganging up on people, that kind of thing is real. It is real. And that's not a Democrat thing, that's not a Republican thing, it's not a liberal thing, it's not a conservative thing. That's an internet thing. And if you can galvanize enough people to do that, you can, you know, basically use these techniques to get it done. And part of those techniques is these viral, kind of slightly out of context videos. And they've seen so many Republicans and conservatives and racists and shit go down because of this,
right?
That I think I would not put it past them that they're starting to do this shit back, to be like, yeah. Oh cool, let me catch, because in America they're, you know, the customer's always right, blah blah blah.
Yep.
I'm gonna use that. I'm gonna go in people's workplace wearing offensive attire when they're triggered by it, when they say something to me, pull out my camera, put the shit online, look at this, you know, AutoZone.
Yeah,
you,
and they think that's equal.
You want people calling me cracker just because I wore a Confederate flag shirt? That's not illegal in Florida. I can wear my shirt. And then they're gonna put these corporations in positions where they do have to be like, well, fuck, we do gotta fire this person. Mm-hmm. You can't call somebody a cracker for wearing that shirt.
No, you can't.
You know? So like I said, hopefully the people that are doing it are just comfortable losing their job and they just fed up and they decided that it's cool. But yeah, this thing where a corporation is gonna operate by, you know, our politics of Twitter, that's ridiculous. That's never gonna happen.
Never.
Like, I can't even hold that against a corporation because I would never expect that shit to happen.
No.
Anyway. The author of the, and by the way, I'm not telling people not to boycott. Like, do whatever the fuck you feel like doing. I don't care if you get go there or not.
Chop that Bath and Body Works in forever.
Yeah, I got some right here. Okay, this is a Bath and pumpkin pecan waffle Bath and Body Works spray that Justin got me a couple years ago. Still got it. And it's delicious. It smells so good.
And it does smell good.
J.K. Rowling signs an open letter condemning cancel culture.
She loves that spotlight, don't she?
Hey, she can't help it. But it wasn't just her. 150 writers, academics, and activists signed this letter. Many from opposite sides of the spectrum when it comes to political beliefs. She signed a letter published by Harper's denouncing restriction of debate in modern culture. 3 days ago, she posted a thread of tweets comparing the overuse of mental health medication to gay conversion therapy. The author, who has shared her battle with mental health issues, tweeted that young people struggling with their mental health are being shunted towards hormones and surgery when it may not be in their best interest. Essentially saying people that are trans have some sort of mental illness, it couldn't possibly be that people are actually, you know, trans and feel that their body does not, you know, coincide with the gender that they feel inside. In her series of tweets, she added, many myself believe, included believe, we are watching a new kind of conversion therapy for young gay people who are being set on a lifelong path of medicalization that results in a loss of their fertility and or full sexual functions. Why do you care about their fertility or full sexual functions, though?
That's their choice.
Like, why would you care? What if a woman just decides not to have kids? She's not trans or anything. Mm-hmm. Is this the wrong path? Is she being steered the wrong way?
Some of them think that. Some of them think it.
How come it doesn't work the other way? When we steer people into having children, you know, with I'm anti-choice. Religious wise, if you do this, you're gonna go to hell. You just killed a baby. You know, how come that's not the fucking issue here? But okay, it's all her business, and she had to let you know. She wrote several books about wizards that go to school, so you know she's a expert on this.
Apparently so.
Her statement stirred a mixture of emotions from Twitter followers. Many expressed that they found Rowling's tweets condescending and transphobic. Black trans model Monroe Bergdorf responded to Rowling's tweets saying, while at JK Rowling is condescendingly tweeting from her mansion, black trans women are fighting for our lives. Trans kids are at home scared and navigating unsupportive environments, and the government are debating our civil rights. JK Rowling, you are not helping us stop. Multiple healthcare professionals also denounced Rowling's claims, stating that there are no studies proving her bias. Don't matter. You don't need science when you're when you're a bigot. You science don't matter.
Mm-mm.
Like you just get to say I feel a certain way, and even if people can, scientists, medical professionals, people that have studied this shit can go, you're wrong. Your feelings are wrong. People don't just back down and go, okay, well, I just didn't know better. Thank you for informing me. They go, no, fuck what your science says. I feel a certain way. Rowling, who advocates for online debate, signed her signature to the letter, which said that free speech is becoming restricted. I'm sorry. Is she in jail?
Right. The government knock on her door?
Did anyone take anything from this woman? What?
Yeah, people don't know the definition of that. They don't understand the definition of that.
Free speech. First of all, you can't say you welcome debate, and then when people go, fuck you, I disagree, what about my free speech?
You no. said what you said. Nobody right. stopped you.
My response to your free speech is my free speech of fuck you.
Yes, it is.
Like, I don't even understand what and also, I'm not, because of free speech, I'm not required to approach you in a certain way. Mm-mm. So if you say some shit in a public forum like Twitter, knowing how people go, you may not get the dignified, classy clapback that you claimed, this, you know, this sophisticated one-on-one type. You're not gonna get that.
Mm-mm.
Some people gonna be like, bitch, kill yourself, fuck you, blah blah blah. I don't think people should be telling people kill themselves and stuff.
No,
but you literally know the environment, and you know you're gonna play victim in that shit. That's whole point,
right?
You put it out there so you can turn around and be like, why? I never.
Right.
And you're not changing your mind. People have been nice. People have tried to communicate to you in different ways. Why are you even pretending?
Don't care.
Why are you even pretending that this debate is gonna happen and you're gonna be able to like have this moment of like, so glad that we had it out, you know, because I didn't understand your point of view before, but now I do. You're not gonna come that way. So just like stop with the bullshit. The memo asserted that cancel culture would silence good faith disagreement and negatively impact most vital causes of our time. The letter also recommended, this is the thing, because only online are trans people and their allies able to do this.
Right.
So that's what happens. It's a hyperbolic space. Obviously, it's basically the reverse of the regular world where, mm-hmm. you know, you say some transphobic shit and you really, people come for you hard. But the real world is not a reflection of social media. Dave Chappelle gets paid a lot of money to keep putting out special after special where he tripled down on his transphobia. Netflix ain't canceling him. He got a Mark Twain Award. Like, nothing's happening to this dude other than some people just don't like that he said the shit. And they keep framing themselves like they're the fucking victims. It's fucking weird. Like, wow, what about my free speech to talk uninterrupted over your life? You know, and I'm not going to extend it to the level that people do where, like, you know, you're literally killing trans people. I'm not saying J.K. Rowling has ever even harmed anybody physically or whatever, but she is contributing to an environment where she knows the status quo is that people are being harmed that are trans.
Agreed.
You know this. When you put this into the world, you know this. This isn't like, you know, before, oh, I just didn't understand. You absolutely do understand.
Don't care.
You don't care. And no one can make you care. You're not, we can't legislate your caring. You don't have to care. But then you can't be like, y'all disagree? Y'all think I'm a bad person? Oh my God, wow, my freedom of speech is injured. Why are you canceling me? So yeah, the letter also recommended open debates of conflicting ideas instead of immediate cancellation. The way to defeat bad ideas is by exposure, argument, and persuasion, not to try to silence or wish them away. Except, like I said, this is not J.K. Rowling. Oh, I said something and then people were debating me and they had conflicting ideas. And then I said, oh, okay, let me respond to that. No, this is her just being like the same thing I said last week. Okay, I'm waking up. It's Thursday. My alarm went off. Time to say the same thing I said last week. This is not a development of an argument. This is literally just you saying the same shit. You know. So on Tuesday she tweeted a link to the letter on her Twitter account with the caption, I was very proud to sign this letter in defense of foundational principle of a liberal society, open debate and freedom of thought and speech. The signed missive also will appear in Harper's Magazine October issue. Okay, so this is one of the things I did think about seeing this letter though. I do miss, or maybe not miss is not the right word, because in my lifetime I didn't get to experience it, but before, I see these old videos, and James Baldwin is famous for these. William F. Buckley, I think is his name, he's famous for these. Martin Luther King, Malcolm X. There is something to public debate and discourse that has gone, that we don't have anymore.
Correct.
Now, I'm not saying, I'm not even sure that it's better or worse for this to not exist. But it's not like this, like, and for public discourse, what I mean is this specifically: a moderator, a live audience, and people with opposing views sitting face to face in person. So all those things are what I mean. Not the like, it's not the same as Twitter. Mm-hmm. It's not the same as Instagram Live. It's not the same as a podcast with, I mean, literally like that form of debate, not a presidential debate where we're looking for sound bites and asking 17 people 15 questions and giving them 1 second to respond. I mean, like a calm sit down, two people who have opposing views can sit face to face and bring up their points. Now, I'm not saying this will resolve anything, there'll be a clear winner, but I do feel like it affects the culture and there's some value to it, in my opinion, because how many of us share these quotes, these videos, because someone else was already saying it in 1955, 1968, and we go, yeah, James Baldwin said this, like, this is, and this is rings true to this day, and I wonder if the archive of that, the, and also the defeating of these ideas to their face in a way where you poke the hole in the conservative bigoted mindset in a way that I think does change society a bit. You know, it does resonate, like people see this exchange and they go, yeah, well, how can you say it's offensive for black people to say Black Lives Matter? And then James Baldwin points into like what is offensive about it, what's not offensive about it, and not, you know what I'm saying, like, and not in a cable news format,
not in the we bring you up, you got a hot take. I mean, like, actually having like a full-fledged,
yeah,
you actually get your completely thought. We ain't doing like no 7 second clips, your side, okay, next commercial break.
We do have public intellectuals now, but they do not engage each other.
Mm-mm.
Like, it's, you know, if Ta-Nehisi Coates is on a thing, it's because he's on a thing to be interviewed, period.
Mm-hmm.
And look, maybe it was fruitless, maybe that's the reason it doesn't exist. This is not me saying like oh man, if we don't have this, it's gonna fuck everything. I mean, maybe it doesn't matter. Maybe, you know, really it's just me wondering out loud, like, is this a thing that would matter to people? But I, you know, I personally would be interested in seeing things like this where, you know, not shouting matches and shit, because I think the biggest way to dismantle some of these people, not all of them, some of these people, is to sit right down in their face and to calmly present your side of what is wrong with their side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you have to be a special person to do that, because most people don't have the patience to do that.
And I think in the annals of history, it will, for posterity's sake, in the annals of history, it would be nice to have these things.
Right, because then you could actually see a real, true debate of intellect. But I think society overall has changed so much. Nobody cares about intellect. Mm-hmm. You know, society has shifted so much. And it's also, we live in society where, you said it, you are your own star. So if I'm my own star, what the fuck I'm going to you for?
Right.
You know, so it kind of took away from the people that are actually educated and actually know and can actually have these higher level conversations that actually, when they go, we wanted to talk about these things as a society, they can literally have these conversations. But I think in the society we are now, people would say it was boring. But you wouldn't be having all these hot takes. It wouldn't be something you could tweet about. You know, so for a lot of people, they wouldn't even fuck with it, because they would be like, I can't get no clips though. What the hell are they talking about? This is stupid. This is slow.
You know, I think it's a niche, but I think part of that niche exists on Twitter though. I think social media would love it. Honestly, I think it would be like wildfire on social media. Cause you know what? That's who shares the shit from a long time ago now. Like, we still share, like, this is one where you have Nikki Giovanni and James Baldwin, who are not, you know, this isn't an adversarial, like, I hate you, let's have a debate, you know, like if it was William F. Buckley and somebody. But, like, in this exchange, there's value here because it resonates to the day, you know? If I can get it to play, I don't know why it doesn't play.
I'm about to refresh.
But yeah, my whole point being, like, there's these moments, these exchanges that I'll find a different one, where these conversations happen and you don't see a lot of like, you see people sharing and stuff, and then we just don't have these conversations as much anymore. You know, it's not like, you don't have to really be it's just something with my Facebook right now, it's just tripping, but you don't have to even be an expert or whatever anymore.
You might find on YouTube.
That's what I'm doing right now, sis. But yeah, you don't even have to be an expert in a thing anymore. Or, you know, Candace Owens can exist in her own realm, and then the people that want to go talk to her are people that are not, they're intellectual lightweights. You know, it's mm-hmm. Charlamagne and mm-hmm. Killer Mike. Like,
that ain't people that really study.
Yeah, but I would love if there was some type of form where you could just dismantle a person like this intellectually, even if it's just for me and a handful of people. I don't know how many other people value this, but that I would like to see. If you're gonna call something cancel culture because I say something and I kick a hornet's nest and the hornet sting me, I hate that.
Yes.
And so it would also take out this built-in victimhood that these motherfuckers get to play in and be like, all I said was trans people are, you know, they are mentally ill. I can't believe cancel culture came. I would love for them to be like, no, let's sit you down and you talk to someone that is versed in this, and let's film it, and like, you think it's a high intellectual debate, we will dismantle your ass. We're gonna show that it's not, mm-hmm. that you're just a fucking bigot with nicer flowery language. Something to me, there's value in that, but it's probably because of what we do for a living. Anyway, here's some of this exchange.
Of course you can lie to me. And you will. If you love me and you're going off with Maddie someplace, you're lying to me. Because what the hell do I care about the truth? I care if you're there. Let Billie Holiday say, hush now, don't explain.
All right, I accept that.
Of course. Of course you lie to me. Because I don't even want to care. What does the truth matter? And why are you going to be truthful with me when you lie to everybody else? You lied when you smiled at that cracker down the job, right? Lie to me. Smile. Treat me the same way you would treat him.
I can't treat you.
You must.
Treat him.
You must. Because I've caught the frowns and the anger. He's happy with you. Of course he doesn't know you're unhappy. You grin at him all day long. You come home and I catch hell because I love you I get least of you. I get the very minimum. And I'm saying, you know, fake it with me. Is that too much of the black woman to ask of the black man?
And like,
come on.
Right. So you see how you just reacted? You're just like, I don't even know if people would be into this. Everyone would be into this. What happened to these conversations?
Yeah, because
it's like anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Because that right there is a message all in itself. Like, I don't know what happened before or afterward, but that was the point. She was like, if you're friendly everywhere else, why do I get the negative part? Like you said, why can't you fake it with me and smile around me?
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I agree with that. It's like, why do I get the short end of the stick because I'm the closest to you?
Yep.
And they can do something for you and you feel like you don't get any benefit from me, and so something that you don't get any benefit from, or something that actually you don't feel like is valuable, why invest in it?
Yeah, but this used to be a thing. You know, Malcolm X could be on a panel with Martin Luther King like that. I don't know what happened. Maybe it's the commercialization, mm-hmm. and
everything is
shorter
profitable.
Attention spans, yes. And I don't know, but like this shit hits. I wish this was here.
Group here. Professor Paul Weiss, a Sterling Professor of Philosophy at Yale.
They bring them out like it's the night show and this used to be a thing. Why can't we do this? Now keep in mind, James Baldwin vehemently is going to disagree with this man. Shook his hand, smiled, everything, and about to eviscerate him.
Were you able to listen to the show backstage?
I heard a good deal of it, but then I was behind the rostrum gate.
Yes.
So I heard only some of it.
Did you hear anything that you disagreed with?
I disagreed with a great deal of it. And, of course, it's a good deal I agree with. But I think he's overlooking one very important matter, I think. Each one of us, I think, is terribly alone. He lives his own individual life. There's all kinds of obstacles in the way of religion or color.
By the way, I love how James Baldwin be smoking that cigarette while they talking.
And he's smoking. And sometimes I forget this is all, but like, they smoking. I was like, oh yeah, this is back in the day when you could smoke like this.
Yeah, all these clips he be smoking. It's like he just sitting on the big joker waiting on this motherfucker. Like, go ahead.
He's just missing a glass of wine.
Go ahead, call space. Go ahead.
Size or shape or lack of ability. And the problem is to become a man.
But what I was discussing was not that problem, really. I was discussing the difficulties, the obstacles, the very real danger of death thrown up by the society when a Negro, when a black man attempts to become a man.
All this emphasis upon black men and white does emphasize something which is here, but it emphasizes it or perhaps exaggerates it, and therefore makes us put people together in groups which they ought not to be in. I have more in common with a black scholar than I have with a white man who is against scholarship. And you have more in common with a white author than you have with someone who's against all literature. So why must we always concentrate on color or on religion or this? There are other ways of connecting men.
I'll tell you this. When I left this country in 1948, I left this country for one reason only, one reason. I didn't care where I went. I might have gone to Hong Kong, I might have gone to Timbuktu, I ended up in Paris, on the streets of Paris, with $40 in my pocket on the theory that nothing worse could happen to me there than it already happened to me here. You talk about making it as a writer by yourself. You had to be able then to turn up all the antenna with which you live, because once you turn your back on this society, you may die. You may die. And it's very hard to sit as a typewriter and concentrate on that if you're afraid of the world around you. The years I lived in Paris did one thing for me. They released me from that particular social terror, which was not the paranoia of my own mind, but a real social danger visible in the face of every cop, every boss, everybody. I don't know what most white people in this country feel, but I can only include what they feel from the state of their institutions. I don't know if white Christians hate Negroes or not, but I know that we have a Christian church which is white and a Christian church which is black. I know, as Malcolm X once put it, that the most segregated hour in American life is high noon on Sunday. That says a great deal for me about a Christian nation. It means that I can't afford to trust most white Christians and certainly cannot trust the Christian church. I don't know whether the labor unions and their bosses really hate me. That doesn't matter, but I know I'm not in their unions. I don't know if the real estate lobby is anything against black people, but I know the real estate lobbies keep me in the ghetto. I don't know if the Board of Education hates black people, but I know the textbooks they give my children to read and the schools that we have to go to. Now, this is the evidence. You want me to make an act of faith, risking myself, my wife, my woman, my sister, my children, on some idealism which you assure me exists in America, which I have never seen.
I'm telling you,
I am a proud progressive.
I'm telling you, like, if you want to bring back public debate, do it. You can't do it on Twitter.
No, you can't.
Do it like this. Do it face to face. Present those bigoted points of view, those, like in this case with this white professor who's presenting this couched in like this naivety, and then let people that do this shit for a living. You know how many fucking people study race for a living, mm-hmm. study gender for a living, study all this stuff, sexual orientation for a living, and then someone like J.K. Rowling, who wrote some children's books, can just be like, fuck it, I'm deciding that I'm okay, cool, have a seat, let's do it. You know, I would love to see that, but that's just kind of my point of view. So in that way, I do understand this idea of like cancel culture is a productive, because to me is not for the reasons that they say, which is mm-hmm. I feel like a victim. No, it's not productive because it lets you hide behind being a victim.
Yes.
I would much rather you say this shit to somebody's face and then be, you know, mentally, verbally, whatever, smacked down, and then for us to be like, yeah, remember that time J.K. Rowling went on this? And if you think you don't want this, if you go, this doesn't matter, this doesn't resonate with anybody, didn't 2 weeks ago everybody was sharing that clip of Bomani Jones going on Will Cain's show?
It was everywhere.
That's what I'm talking about. Something like that. Confront the shit to his face and point out how it looks stupid. Because if you point out how it looks stupid, that's what changes culture to me. Like, you're not going to change culture by everyone going to their own sides and we all have our own platforms and no one communicates and we all pretend to be the victims of each other.
Right.
You shut the shit down by going right to their fucking face and being like, I'm going to make you look stupid in front of everybody. And then you can keep saying this, but slowly it erodes the people who listen to you, because they go, yeah, but Bomani did say. Yeah, but James did say. Yeah, but, you know, Nikki did say. That's the shit, and those moments resonate forever. So I do miss that level of public debate, but not in the way that these motherfuckers think. They just think being able to say something fucked up, you shouldn't get any pushback, and no one should personally feel that it's any bearing on you.
You're right.
And you're not a quote-unquote bad person. But for people that feel that way, just switch it. Just switch it to whatever group you're in, and then you won't feel that way.
Yeah.
It's that easy. None of us feel that way about Jason Whitlock. So even if you're a transphobe or you agree with Jason that, well, look, she got some points, blah, blah, blah. She's just asking questions. Okay, let's say you really do feel that way. Listen, why we got to turn on J.K. Rowling? First of all, she's the one that got stuck on this. She could have said that shit one time, realized, read the room, and said, I'm going to leave it at this. At this point, it's her kicking the hornet's nest.
Mm-hmm.
But you could technically flip the polarity and be like, let me think about race. Am I sitting around thinking about how important Jason Whitlock's freedom of speech to tell me that black on black crime is the real problem and racism is just some shit we made up in our head and Black Lives Matter is evil? Is that really a guy that I want to see, you know, get on the internet every day and make that point because God damn it, we need to protect his freedom of speech?
No.
You don't agree with him. You do call him names and coons. You do tag him and harass him and shit on Twitter. But that's different because you're in that group. There's not a lot of people in the trans community allied with the trans community. So it's just easier to be like, why they gotta be so upset about this?
Yeah, it's easy to dismiss.
Yeah. You can't be sitting around mad that people not enough celebrities were saying shit about Black Lives Matter and then be like, but, you know, I'm gonna sign this letter with J.K. Rowling and the trans community, because you know the other part of this, the people that signed that letter are the people that go, I don't agree with Black Lives Matter and I don't know why y'all keep harassing me about it. Cancel culture is fucking, why y'all trying to cancel me? You know, that's a part of it too, but people don't talk about that.
No, because that would be challenging. That would mean you have to do critical thinking and all this stuff too. And people, nowadays, nah.
All right, let's move on. What else is happening? A Supreme Court upholds Trump administration regulation letting employers opt out of birth control coverage. You know, this is what we voted for. This is why you vote. Supreme Court matters.
It does.
You know, all the shit that we normally say. Y'all know it. Do we need to play this song for y'all again? Y'all mm-mm, know the song.
Mm-mm.
Just
vote, 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 vote.
Yep. It was a 7-2 decision, by the way. So that means even some of the quote unquote liberal judges sided with businesses' rights to say we don't have to provide means to contraceptives for women. It's only for women, by the way.
Right. Is Viagra on this list? No. With Viagra available on this list? No.
So, or people with vaginas, I should say.
Right.
You know.
Right. Will Viagra ever be on the list? No. Well, then fuck y'all. What are we talking about here? It's always when it comes to persons with ovaries.
Right. That's what we so ridiculous. Anyway. All right. Let's play some of our games. Let's do a little bit of fucking with Black people.
We're just fucking with those Black people. We're just fucking with those Blacks. We're just fucking with Black people.
That's right, guys. It's time to play the game we all hate to play. It's fucking with Black people. The game we go all around the globe, find different articles that make us feel fucked with. We assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. Everyone's fucking with us. All right, let's get to the first one. Let's see here. Okay. Tina Knowles Lawson, a.k.a. Beyonce Mama.
Mm-hmm.
Reacts to the activist police criticizing Beyonce. She is sick of y'all shit, and I for one agree with her. Y'all niggas are exhausting.
Something that's really important for me to say, and I've been wanting to get this off my chest, is, you know, from the criticism, and I mean, there's been some criticism when she put out the first message. You know, it's like, how does she look? How does she, you know, she's like, I try to do as much as I can behind the scenes. She's not that out front telling you everything she's doing, but the girl is constantly
aware,
working for our people. She is constantly giving back with her money, her time, her energy. And, you know, one thing I do want to say to young people is that we have to stop being so critical of how people protest, how they process things, because everybody is not the same. And everything everybody did in this protest of Mr. Floyd's death, whether you posted, whether you donated, whether you signed petitions, whether you marched out and you were on the front lines, you know, everybody can't be on the front lines.
Yes.
But whatever you did, talk to people, call the congressman, call the governor. Whatever you did, it all worked in tandem, and it worked together to get the results that we got. So we have to stop being so critical of other people and what they do and try to dictate, because nobody made you the activist police, you know?
Okay.
And there is no monopoly on activism. It's done in many, many ways.
She's singing tired of y'all niggas. Talk about her baby. She was like, guess what? I ain't Beyonce.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
Ain't no muzzle on me.
I love it.
I already told y'all she got it from her mama.
Love that energy. Okay. Love it. We need more of that in the world. Okay. People have letting this shit go on too far.
Right. She was like, cause you know, she sees the shit Beyonce does and stuff like that. And she was like, my baby investing millions of dollars trying to help people behind the scenes. What is y'all talking about?
And it don't matter which way she do it.
No, it don't.
And in real talk, a lot of it is, listen, it changed my life. Not gonna front. It made me look at these motherfuckers way different. Maybe I'm too cynical. I don't know. Once I started seeing the patterns of like, it's a lot of jealousy behind a lot of these quote unquote critiques.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of envy behind these critiques.
Yes, it is.
I've been off of that shit. Like, I'm like, okay.
It seems big because
another thread about this nigga. Okay. I don't care. And even if you mean it and you think you're righteous and all that shit, at the end of the day, a lot of this shit is still jealousy and envy and wanting to replace these people. Even when you're right, there's still a part of you that's like, and it's because I think I deserve that spot, or I think some other person deserves that spot. And once you see that, it's like, it's hard to unsee it. And when you see it, because they do it to everyone. Mm-hmm. It would be different if they kept it at a couple of targets where you're like, yeah, that person is fucked up. But once they start stretching and flipping the fucking logic on every single person who seems to be trying to help and turn everybody except them into this fucking, like, evil, sinister person, you're not gonna fool me, baby. It's inside you. Whatever's inside you is the problem. Like, this shit where y'all try to come for people trying to help is ridiculous to me.
Right. You know, and yeah, like I said, yes, one of the things, once you see it, you can't unsee it. And, you know, and I've said this before, for a lot of people, you put your personality out on social media, regardless of if you want to believe it or not, particularly people that are avid posters. Your personality will leak through online, no matter how much you pretend, no matter how much you try to fake the phone. Eventually, the real you will come out sooner or later.
Well, also, I've just seen them flip it.
Yes.
Like, I just have paid enough attention to the patterns where you watch people flip the shit. Well, I just be humble and do shit behind the scenes. Don't nobody need to know what you do. We always throwing your money in our face. If I had millions of dollars, I would give money too, blah, blah, blah. Okay, cool. That means silence is complicity. I never see you say anything. Put your face on it. Mm-hmm. Put your name on it.
I've
okay,
seen that too.
I put my name on it. Hey, Black Lives Matter. You ain't give no money. Open up your purse, sis. Where's your purse? Yeah, okay, no, I gave you some money. Why are you trying to flex on us? That ain't enough money.
Right.
That ain't shit. They ain't gonna help nobody get free. Okay, cool. I support Black business. Wow. So capitalism? That's your answer to everything? Like, they just keep moving the ball, and at the end of it, it's just so they can feel like they're on a high horse morally, pushing down on people, because it's the only time they feel like they get to push down on people that are quote unquote better than them, because they're making more money than them, they look better than them, more famous than them, they're more talented than them. But here's this one way where I can pretend that I'm morally better than you, so I can make you feel the way that I feel every time I look at you. I feel like I'm fucked up because I'm not where, like you, I'm not where you're at, which is the truth of the matter is, you're not fucked up. It's nothing wrong with everybody. Not gonna be Beyonce.
Mm-mm.
You know, the other day I saw somebody, Bad Bunny is this rapper, and he was on the cover of this magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls himself sexually fluid, which does qualify as LGBTQ or whatever, right?
Okay.
So but he takes a lot of, like, he's basically has like a gender bending approach to style.
Okay.
And so there was this person in the comments that made this like long thread about how, you know, I'm sick of these straight men and people putting them on a pedestal because they, you know, they wear a dress or some shit like that, blah, blah. People were responding like, but he's sexually fluid, so I don't know that, blah, blah, blah. They didn't give a fuck. And then two or three tweets in, they linked their music on Spotify.
Right, because a lot of times people do stuff to make whatever, an event happens, you have to make it about you, because right, actually, you all that matters. Not the event, not the person, not the calls for a lot of people. It all spins around you. Something happens, all of a sudden we got to go down a long story about when I was a child, mm-hmm, this happened to me, blah, 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 whatever it is, like right, you have to spin it or twist it. And a lot of times you have to stress the truth in some situations to make that connection. It's not actually a connection,
right,
but you have to make a connection.
You have to ignore all evidence to the contrary.
Right.
And anybody that's not down with you is part of the problem. Like, this is the part where, you know, I understand the annoyance of what people call cancel culture, because mm-hmm, it's annoying.
Yes, it is.
It is very much get down or lay down. You can't ask a question. You can't go. You didn't make your case. And so I do get it, but, you know, it's just not the threat that these rich people say it is. It's just more annoying. Like, it's annoying for Beyonce's mama. It ain't, you know, she's not like, shut the internet down. What about Beyonce's freedom of speech? Like, mm-hmm, she's not hiding behind that. She's just basically like, chill. Y'all niggas are annoying.
Right. She was like, nobody cares how you do it. Just do it. Like, right, her thing is just be active.
No one's stopping you.
Right.
At the end, but here's the thing, though. I did click on that person's music. I did play it on Spotify. And it was whack. It was whack as fuck. Like, it was like, you envious, and but your shit is whack though. Like, you can't blame that on the world. Like,
right?
It's like, y'all not supporting queer artists and all this. It's like, that, like, you particularly are whack. Now, that doesn't mean there's no queer phobia, blah, blah, blah in the world, but your shit is not bad, as good as Bad Bunny's, and that's really just the problem. That's gonna always be the problem. And
yes,
that, and that,
you approve, yes.
And there's a lot of people like that.
Yes,
is
it
what
is.
I'm saying. A lot of social media culture is that. It is, I'm not making it as a black writer because blah, blah, blah. And it's like, or your shit is not as good as you think it is. It could be both. Like, it's racism out there and mediocre black people should be able to succeed. But also, yes, your ass is mediocre. You are not James Baldwin. You are not blowing people. You're not Ta-Nehisi Coates. You're not blowing people away with the talent. Doesn't mean you don't deserve a spot, but come on, man. That's it. That's it. And I clicked on that shit because I didn't want to just dismiss them out of hand, but I was like, I'm gonna listen to this shit. Cause what if I am, you know, this is the next person that's blowing. Man, that shit was so whack. Me and I was texting with somebody, me and them was laughing. Like, did you hear this song? Listen to this song. Like, this motherfucker think they better than Bad Bunny. I don't even listen to Bad Bunny. I put Bad Bunny on just for the first time because of that shit.
Okay.
And within like 5 seconds of the first song, I was like, oh, I see why people like this. Mm. Like, it's a big difference. And maybe it's, you know, maybe you just hating, you know? Matter of fact, we'll go to the next session and I'll make the next point I was about to make, but remind me to bring up hating. All right. So yeah, hating. Mm-hmm. I was on Three Guys On and we were talking about this comedian that got into some things on Twitter and stuff. It's a long story. You can listen to that episode if you want to hear it. There was this black woman who called her out for this joke that was, in my opinion, very racist. It was a impression of a black woman, and it was, and I cannot stress this enough, trash. That shit was horrendous, right? And so this woman, blue check black woman, basically called her out to say, hey, this shit is whack and I don't fuck with it, and you know, don't do it anymore or whatever. Matter of fact, I can't play it for you, hold on. Y'all want to hear a terrible racist impression? Here it is.
What, are you crazy? You keep coming up with this crazy idea. Wear your taxes, bitch. Why don't you show your taxes? Cause you're going through an audit. You still gotta show your taxes. And your wife, she pretty, but she can't show her titty every first lady. And why don't you get your hair done, motherfucker?
So.
What?
That's her impression of a woman named Shaniqua. That's a character she portrays that, you know, I think it was in 2016, but that's not that long ago. Very, to me, racist. But the point that was being made was, you know, some people came after her that were like, you should take this shit down, it's racist, you claim to be an ally. And then she went, you know, all sensitive baby on everybody and, oh, I'm such a good person, how can you even think this of me, and some of my best friends are black and I help so many people in the community and I'll take it down, but it's only because a couple of white people didn't find it funny because they're more sensitive than black people. And so a black woman saw it and said, actually this shit is racist and you should take it down. And she flipped out, and the whole comedy community, a lot of people in the comedy community kind of came at this black woman and all this stuff, and said some vile shit and all this stuff. Anyway, point being, we were talking about it and Andy was like, you know, people just dismiss this kind of criticism and they could be like, this person's a hater and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, but they could be a hater. It just don't matter.
Mm-mm.
Like, some, like, you left an opening for people who might hate you. It might not be coming from a good place.
Mm-mm.
But if they make a valid point, that's different. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's some nuance there where some people just hate you and they're going to change tactics every day.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes somebody hates you and they stumble into something where it's like, well, today you're right. You know, like, people
don't mean you still ain't hating, but you just right today.
Don't make you not a hater, but you have to live in that area, that grayness. Mm-hmm. Of, look, that they was hating on me. They finally got a hit. You know what I mean? like they finally got, they got me. They was going to wake up every day, look for a new plot. And today is the day they caught the Roadrunner, you know? But yeah, it was terrible.
That sounded bad. Don't yeah. What? It's amazing how we think we sound and how white people think we sound. It don't even connect.
It's such a terrible impression in general.
Right. Like, you've never heard a black person talk before.
It's like a mammy, and it's from 2016. You know, like, all of it, you only all that. Like, no one talks like that.
Mm-mm.
It's just ridiculous and racist. And to turn yourself into the victim, the J.K. Rowling cancel culture victim, as soon as people said, hey, this shit is whack. And what's so funny, I was saying this with Andy and them, she could have just not responded and been better off. Because nobody was paying that much attention. Nothing was going to happen to her. It was the response and then playing victim and getting everyone to like gang up and, you know, want to be treated so special. Why didn't you DM me? Why didn't you call me and let me know? You're the one declaring to the world that no black people find this offensive. I don't know if you met black people, but it's some niggas that are going to find that offensive.
Yeah.
So you can't even make
no matter what you do, somebody black gonna find it offensive.
It's like you dared them to find and it's like, show this to several black people, you'll find several people that will get offended. So
yes.
Anyway, 0 to 100 for Beyonce mama.
Oh, Beyonce mama gets zero.
Zero for me as well. And I forget that comedian's name, like Jessica Kirsten or something. Oh, anyway, listen to Three Guys on. Woman who pointed a gun at a black mom, 15-year-old daughter at Chipotle, says she feared for her life. That's the language that the police use. That's what the police be saying. Fear for my life? I guess it's trickling down to regular white people with no office and no authority, no badges. They just keep pulling their guns out, too, because they scared for their life trying to get this burrito. You know how you be at Chipotle sometimes and a black person sneak up on you, be like, oh God, I got to pull a gun out on two black people. I was scared.
Yeah, I just wanted to eat my papacola.
How come when you get scared, you get to pull out a gun? That's what I want to know.
Come on.
I get scared, I got to run and still get killed by the cops, but okay.
So if she did something wrong, she needs to apologize. If she did
this, ignorant no woman, apologize. This ignorant woman if bumped into a 15-year-old.
Correct.
And you're on camera.
I wasn't sure if my bag bumped.
Can I just say shout out to the local news? Okay. Nobody does better PR for these racist Karens. Then the local news will come to your house, let you cry on their camera, let you talk calmly in a voice the exact opposite of what you presented on camera on display, and tell your side of the story uninterrupted and unedited with no pushback. Like, they threw, like, a couple sentences at the end, like, the two black women say that is not the case. Back to you, Jim.
Yeah, they don't go interview the other side.
I've been getting death threats, and I am scared to go to work. You shouldn't have a gun if you're that scared.
No, you should not.
This young woman who was very close to me.
The video runs 3 minutes. The heated exchange continues as the white woman walks to her van. And her husband opens the door to get in.
Please put your motherfucking hands
up. Do something.
Please.
Who the f*** do you think you guys are?
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
You calling her name? Yeah, she did nothing to you.
Yeah, I didn't. I didn't. No, you didn't.
You're very racist and ignorant.
Today's climate, you never know what's going to happen. That's the reason why we choose to.
This nigga like a grown-ass Bobby Hill.
Don't. Oh, he does, don't he?
Damn it, Bobby. Get back in the van.
Carry our protection.
As the husband is backing out their van, the black mother walks to the back and hits it. She may not be the only one.
And they were trapped. And they were trapped in their vehicle. And we had, there's more than just one person banging on that vehicle. And that will come out at trial.
The van stops. The wife and husband get out, both with guns drawn.
Don't you f-ing jump behind your car. No, I ain't jumping on your car. What's your husband was hitting me. Get the f-ing back. Do you see that?
Within moments, a second or two, I had multiple people within 2 feet of me. And.
Because you hopped out the car with a gun. You were in the car.
Yeah, y'all could have just drove away. Y'all could just let them talk.
Now, I will say this. If they did go back there and start beating up the husband, I mean, obviously, that's a bit of a gray area. You can't just be like, we should be able to whoop your ass and you just get in the car and drive off. Know, like,
beating your vehicle and shit.
Yeah,
like,
you start putting your hands on people.
Right.
Motherfuckers, that's a fight.
Yeah, and it's one of those things where sometimes shit like this happens and sometimes both parties can actually be wrong. Nobody want to admit this.
I don't know if it's true is what I'm saying, because in the video they don't show us that they hit this man. They just so...
No.
That, like, it sounds like they're saying we're taking the man's word that they started jumping him behind the van,
right?
Which I don't know is true or not, because you know there's a track record of, you know, white
make
people
a, make a made up shit, right?
Yeah. Oh, she about to cry. Here we go.
I remember thinking of a
cry.
I'm not going home tonight.
Yes.
But you was there the one with the gun, though, baby.
She's ready for her close up, Mr. DeVille. Okay.
So you felt like you had no choice at that point but to pull the gun?
Yeah.
Why are you video recording this incident? What's the purpose other than for, you know, folks to be where we are right now?
See, this is such bullshit, because essentially you gave that white woman a bully pulpit of 2 minutes of footage. The black women aren't even in it. They didn't, don't even like they reached out to them to interview them at all. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, they have the black man clip of him being like, why are you even recording this? If, unless it's to be on the news like we are right now. Well, I like to see the answer to that. Why did you cut that part out? Why can't the black women get to speak? Anyway, it's the best PR going right now is this, white women and the news coming to talk to them afterwards. Amazing. Amazing. 0 to 100, Karen?
I give it about a 50.
Yeah. I give it 75, with the caveat of if they put their hands on him and then if they put their hands on him and that's why they pulled out the gun, then I'll say 75. But if he's lying, 100. I guess we'll find out if he's lying in court.
Yeah, if he's lying, 100. And it's one of those things, too, to where, actually funny, I want a lot of the evidence to come out.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things where y'all could have just drove away, too. I mean, you was actually inside the vehicle. Like, what could they have done to actually get to you?
Right.
You actually stepped out of the car again. And so that's where my, I give it a 75, because that's, I'm not, because it's not quite 100.
Right.
But that's where my problem comes in. You were actually in a safe spot, in a safe place. You could have let them do whatever they want to do, and you literally could have drove away.
Yeah, everyone had several chances to de-escalate that situation.
Right,
but
right.
Yeah, I just do wonder if he's telling the truth about being attacked. If that's so, then I definitely understand. That's not so unreasonable that somebody would put out some heat if you getting your ass whooped. You know, they like, I ain't that fucking woke that... just let black people whoop your ass. Like, that's not going to happen. That's not in America. Anyway, Cal Quirio, okay, Quiro, I don't know, issues an apology to Jill Scott after questioning her beauty. My comments were distasteful and unbecoming of a black man. Former NFL linebacker Kyle Quirio, or it looks like Quirio, so I don't know, Quiro, let's see, I don't know, I give up. Issues an apology to Queen Jill Scott after sending out a couple of tweets Friday night mentioning how anyone could find her sexually attractive. In the now deleted tweets, he asked, people are attracted to Jill Scott in all caps ? And by no means is she ugly, but y'all really sexually aroused by her?
You mean J-I-L-L-S-C-O-T-T? Yes! That woman is fucking gorgeous. Been gorgeous forever.
Who you been to try? I bet it ain't me. Oh, bitch, it ain't me. Cats. Who are you been?
That's exactly what the internet did to his ass.
Right.
So he continued. My comments in a lengthy apology posted to Twitter because he didn't just get backlash from Jill Scott's fans, but from the likes of K. Michelle, Tory Lanez, Questlove, who accused the former player of fat shaming. In a lengthy apology posted on Twitter, he wrote, first and foremost, I would like to apologize to Miss Jill Scott. The topic of your beauty should not have been shared over social media for public discourse. There's truly no excuse or explanation to be made. Yep. Listen, I'm gonna tell you right now, as a straight black dude on social media, surrounded by all these different black people, black women, black, like, I just don't talk about anyone I don't find attractive for the most part, because I just don't want the smoke. And that extends to people of other races, because what a lot of black dudes do is this pandering shit where they like talk shit about white women. They'll be like, oh, we can talk shit about white women because everybody hates them. But the weird part is that because of body types, there's a black woman with a body that we would describe as some white woman's body. Mm-hmm. So while you like banging on Lena Dunham, there's some black woman that's like, I always kind of identify with Lena Dunham's body.
Right.
So you just can't do it, man. You can only say positive shit. You know what I mean? And if motherfuckers don't like you, they don't even want you to say that. But fuck them. I'm still a human, and I'm not going to let y'all get away with that. I'm not going to be like, I'm never going to talk about who looks good. But that is definitely a thing. Like, so don't ever express it. It's gonna always be a problem. It's gonna come back to haunt your ass too. Be positive. Just be like, I like Serena Williams. She can sit on my face any time of the day, and just leave it at that. Like,
yeah, Jill Scott can get it. I'm not even gonna lie. And yeah, sing me to sleep.
There's nothing negative about that. And if there was somebody I didn't like, or somebody I was like, I just don't get it, I know that on black Twitter especially, you ain't gonna be able to express that shit as no straight dude.
Come on. Now,
look, the rules are different for women and shit. Women can say some insane shit like, I just don't get Trevante Rose. And motherfuckers will really be like, that's just her prerogative. You know, it's different rules online than real life. Okay? If they get to say it. We just don't. It's not fair. Okay? It's not right. Like, but we've had so much unfairness.
It's the reverse of society.
For so long.
Yeah, women.
It's a small sacrifice to make. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't have to say shit. Mm-hmm. Like, it's such a small thing to give up, is the ability to criticize women in an overly critical world that consistently criticizes women of all times, all types, all the time. You know, not to mention, it's not, a lot of these niggas are lying, so it's the other part.
Yes, they are. She wouldn't blink twice your way.
You know, it's just the other part they don't get. It's like, a lot of these motherfuckers are lying, and this dude clearly was trolling. He gonna say he wasn't. You don't make a statement like that without expecting some pushback. You just thought it would be funny to clown and shit. People do it with Lizzo. Mm-hmm. People do it with Chrissy Teigen. Oh, she got a funny shaped face. She's a fucking supermodel. It's one of those things where you were in her presence, you'd be like, oh, I get it. Okay, yeah, she's a fucking supermodel, of course. But people do this shit all the time, so yeah, you should have just not said nothing. Is it fair? Not technically, but that's the way it is, dog. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this nigga had to apologize.
Of course.
My man had to apologize.
Because they got in his ass about Jilly from Philly.
Listen. I mean, and I'm so past this shit. Like, when I see somebody say something like this, I assume that it's for attention, and I just move on.
Of course. What else could it be?
Because think about it. You cannot be attracted to somebody. You don't have to ever tell anyone that, technically, because it doesn't matter to anyone but you. My penis does not have blood flow through it and get engorged when I think of so-and-so. And I just need the world to know this, okay? Because I know many of you have been thinking about, what is it that causes the hormones in my brain to make my penis aroused? I know this is a big deal, and that's what my Twitter account is for, is to let you know, like, you know, that shit's gonna be a problem. Anyway, he continued, my comments were distasteful and becoming of a black man to speak negatively on a black woman under any circumstance. Oh man, this nigga got, they hit him with the mud. He went to like get the HR department. This is like, I can't never talk bad about no black woman.
Mm-mm.
Secondly,
he knew it before he said it.
Right. Secondly, I'll tell you who you can't talk bad about. Coons. You can, that's still legal. So if you really,
according to Twitter, yes.
Like, if you wanted to say, I wouldn't fuck Candace Owens with a 10-foot pole or some shit, people will mostly let that one slide. I'm not saying no one will push back, but nigga, everyone loves Jill Scott defended Bill Cosby, and people still love Jill Scott. She did apologize, for the record, but when does that matter to y'all? But Jill Scott defended Bill Cosby and came back, okay? We love her. You can't talk bad about Jill Scott, and she fine. So you know it's gonna be a disagreement. People used to do this shit with Serena Williams too. Nigga, no, we don't agree. And it's about to be a problem if you keep it up. You know? Mm-mm-mm. Can't be talking about these people folks feel passionate about. Erica Badu.
He's been around 20 years, 15, yeah. 20 years.
Hmm. I just don't get it. Well, nigga, it's not for you to get. For me.
You know what? And that's my whole motherfucking point. It's one of those things where sometimes dudes be like, well, I don't like this woman and I don't like this one. You know what? I didn't ask for your opinion about it. And particularly if it's not your genre of music or not your thing. Right. You know, and for a lot of black women, what kills them is a lot of times you're picking an artist that a lot of black women like, and that's the problem.
And identify with.
And it's, you know, the thing she sings and all that stuff. So it's like, you coming for a target, and then you're shocked and surprised when people are like, the fuck are you doing, nigga?
And ain't nobody asked you shit.
That be the whole point. Nobody asked you, and nobody cared.
And because of the way society been, you got motherfuckers, like, accusing him of all kinds of shit that he didn't really do or say or confirm, but it don't matter. It's a history behind that. You. Coming at this specific woman or a woman like her, it's going to be a lot of people being like, oh, so you are old, you know, the white man's ice is colder ass nigga, you know, like, so he got lit the fuck up. Worse than any football game he's played. He says, I'm aware of the layers. He says, secondly, I would like to apologize to those who were offended by my post. I do love when they say, by those who were offended as opposed to those who may have been. Nigga, you know them people exist. Like, I.
You knew it before.
Anyone who may have had, like, no. They were offended. So.
And they let you know really loudly.
I love when they say that. Like, no. I mean, y'all was offended. I know. I'm aware of the layers of hurt. I peel back with my words. I had no intention to make people feel less than, but that's simply not good enough. Intention doesn't equate to impact. I am aware of how much more important one's impact is than their intention. Knowing this, I still offended a large number of people, and for that, I'm deeply sorry.
Yeah, because somebody got a hold of you and was like, hey, don't do that.
Instead of addressing his comments, Jill Scott said, wait, I'm trending again? Okay, then justice for Breonna Taylor. Justice for Oluwatua Salu, justice for Sandra Bland.
She said, I'm trending again.
Loving ourselves and each other is respectful and uplifting support. Eyes on the prize, love village, your eyes on the prize. Yeah, that's the other thing too. I saw people, social media is such a weird place. People were spreading the pictures that leaked when people thought she had some nude photos out there. One of them, I supposedly isn't even her. And then the other one was a news leak. So I'm like, isn't the rules on the leaks and revenge porn that you're not supposed to share them? But then it was like they were sharing it in support of her to be like, you telling me you don't want all this? And I mean, obviously, yes, I do. But nigga, we're not supposed to be looking at those.
Don't do that.
I never know the rules online, you know? And then, of course, if it's a man, I think it just don't even count. Maybe.
You know, I don't think it count either, because.
They don't even
woo,
count.
Woo! Something happened, boy. You open up your timeline. All you see is dick.
That's when you know that these women ain't shit, too. That's
right.
Like,
that's when you know that it's changed, because, boy, you let the right person's dick pic get floated. You be like, the hell is this? You look online and all you hear is, ooh, he can flip me all types of ways, and girl, did you see this? You be like, oh, I wasn't expecting this when I opened up Twitter.
Yeah, that's what stuff like that gives me faith in humanity. It's not, a lot of people go, oh, I hate to see y'all ain't shit. Y'all really do, but it gives me faith, because I'm like, okay, maybe y'all can come off your high horse a little bit, and y'all can understand why I follow nothing but butts on Instagram, because I'm into that, okay? There's no shame in that. That people want to show me their butts, guess who wants to look? Me. Like, what? I gotta be a bad person for that? Like, there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with that transaction at all. OnlyFans accounts? What's wrong with that? Those are enterprising business owners, okay?
Ain't that old.
So, it's that kind of shit. And then women always act like, you know, either offended or uptight about it, blah, blah, blah. But then let some motherfucker put a pic and be like, this is the baby's dick. You can't go anywhere without seeing that motherfucking picture. Every three posts, look at this dick. Girl, I know you seen the dick. Like, I'm like, yes, thank you. Stop acting better than people. You know, revenge porn is wrong, but look at the baby's dick. Did he send it to you? Did he put the dick out? No. So you just been passing around his ill-gotten dick pic games to people trying to act better than other folks? You ain't better than nobody. You just as bad as everyone else. Stop going on these long ass like moral soliloquies.
Yeah, a lot of times you see him whether you want to or not, because like I said, if it's the right person, it'll just be trending
right
in your timeline.
I appreciate it because I get to go, I knew it, y'all niggas ain't shit either, stop acting better than me, okay? You know what I mean? Who else? Serge Ibaka. All these just dicks everywhere. Bing, 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 bing. Dicks everywhere.
It was everywhere.
Dicks they don't even like sharing these dicks. I'm like, you motherfuckers ain't, you not better than me. We in the same pervert boat, okay? All of us is like children. Like, oh, titties. It's a shame. I'm 42 still. Titties? Is that? Let me just peek
is
over
that
there.
True?
It's like that gif of the dude that looks in the, he's in the, gas station and he's like going to the front, like where you get the liquids out of the what do you call it, out of the like behind the refrigerating thing where you open up the thing and you get the liquids out, mm-hmm. and he turns around like, what's over there? And then he like turns back and walks the other way. That's me with every titties pull out. It don't matter who titties is, what the titties.
Yes, I can visualize that gift now. It's hilarious too. He go and open it up and was like, oh, wait a minute, something happened over there.
I know I came here for orange juice, but it's titties over here. You know, and I
get the orange juice later.
Yeah, and people like that with dicks too, trying to act better than everybody. You not. Anyway, let's all agree. We're not better than people. All right, that's it for today. We need to do some sore ratchetness and get out of here. We started late, and then tomorrow at 4:30 p.m. we'll have Reagan Gomez on the podcast as a guest.
Yay.
Yep. And if everything goes to plan on Wednesday, we'll have Bossy Igby as a guest.
Yay.
Yeah, that's right, we're out here working. All right, let's get to the sore ratchetness. Oh god, volume up. Three jailed after samurai-style sword attack on cyclist. Three men have been jailed after an attack on a cyclist in Peterborough, in which a cyclist suffered a 6-inch cut to his arm from a samurai-type sword.
Oh, shit.
The incident happened in Breton in the northeast of Cambridgeshire town on the evening of 24 April last year. Jordan Roberts, Ulili Rumalho, and Umberto Femilino were subsequently arrested following an investigation into the joint enterprise attack. Roberts, age 19, admitted being in a group of others on the evening in question and pleading guilty to being involved in a violent disorder, but denied causing grievous bodily harm for with intent. The other two denied involvement in the attack on the 42-year-old victim, who had been cycling in the area of Britain Park when it happened. Realizing he was being chased, the victim stopped to confront his pursuers, mistake, one of whom swung a samurai-style sword at his head, cutting his arm as the bicyclist tried to defend himself. Other members of the group also produced knives, but the victim managed to run off and was helped to safety by a member of the public.
Everybody came to bang, didn't they?
Yeah. They was like, boy, boy, right? Crazy boy.
It was like, oh,
just
I got
keep
knives
it cool,
too.
Boy.
It was like, ching, ching. You know how they make them little noise when you put it from the sheath. Shing! I'm ready.
Sharks, come over here and we gotta fight these Jupiters. I forget the name of the
group. Of the group. Me too.
The sharks into something. The weapons used by the gang could have caused more severe injuries, even loss of life, but thankfully the victim managed to get to safety. I'm pleading with the public to get in touch with us if they know someone who carries a weapon. The information we passed on. Oh, I love this idea. Yes. You should be able to report on people anonymously for having swords. Yes. Mm. An idea whose time has come. Okay. There's never one that's been used for positive things. Very rarely. Just report to people. Hey, they got a sword. They shouldn't have one. Last Friday, Romano was sentenced to 7 years imprisonment. Ooh. With Feminile getting 3.5 years. Roberts had admitted violent disorder, but was sentenced to 9 years imprisonment, as well as 4 years in jail for unrelated offenses to run consecutively. Consecutively? Shit, so that's 13 years? Because I know concurrent is at the same time. So this nigga got to do 9 years for this shit and 4 years for some other shit. And they not even combining it. God damn.
I was like, nah. Mm-hmm.
Way to make a statement. Get these niggas off the street.
Get them off the street out here stabbing folks.
The only time I'm not a prison abolitionist is during this shit.
Oh, this the only time.
And with Bill Cosby and R. Kelly and Harvey Weinstein and Russell,
I think he got quite a list there. I think you might as well come on to the other side. Why are you playing? I don't know why you over there playing. Lock them up. Lock them up. One of us. One of us.
But other than that, free everybody. Another individual, Dante Foster, age 18, was found guilty of violent disorder and will be sentenced at a later date. While Musa Balde, also 18, was found not guilty of the same offense. So I don't even know who this other person came from. Anyway, that's it for today's episode. We'll be back tomorrow. Reagan Gomez, thank you guys for listening.
Yes.
If you're seeing, go get you some masks in our T Public store.
Mask.
I'll put the link in our in the notes for this show.
Wear us on your face.
Yeah, go out here and styling. Use code TBGWT. And of course, old episodes are gonna keep appearing on your feed. Mm-hmm. So
I'm seeing y'all going back and listening, which I'm excited because I know, you know, we've had like a handful of crew that's kind of been there the entire time, but because we've done so many episodes over so many years, people kind of jumped in and out sporadically while we're doing these episodes, and some of y'all have never heard these episodes, so this would be fun to go back down memory lane, and I'm glad some of y'all are listening and enjoying them.
Yep. And also, man, like I was saying this to Three Guys On, I love putting up this old shit. Like, it's just, unfortunately, we had to take it down for money cost reasons at the time.
Yeah, back then, yeah.
When we were going premium, we didn't know exactly how we were going to do things, so we tried to move everything to the site.
And
but
everything wasn't always unlimited.
Yeah, but I like putting it up because I want people to see where we came from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want people to see that, you know, growth is a thing, growth is possible, that, you know, and that you never know where you're going to go on shit and all that stuff. And then we've always been funny. We've always had, but, you know, this has been a learning adventure, talking to the world and the world talking back. And I think people are trying too much to crop that out of their filtered selfie on Instagram. And I want you to see some of the blemishes, man. That's what makes the shit real, is the authenticity.
Mm-hmm.
All right, y'all. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Until then, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah. Mwah.